Acts chapter 17. I think I've told you my motto before. I only get some of y'all once a week because of jobs and events and stuff, so I want to make sure y'all get to hear some word before you go home. Words like these I think we need to hear. Because I don't know if y'all face the devil. Who faces the devil in this sanctuary? Okay, so I'm preaching to real people. We all face the devil who comes against us, and if he can ever get us to believe a lie, you know what we'll do? We'll believe it. If he can ever get that lie inside of these ears, inside of this heart, inside of this mind, he gets us. And I want to preach on sanctity of life this morning. I know the Spirit has moved, so we had a video planned. We had several things planned, but I'm going to talk in just a second. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 29. When we get there, we'll all stand for the reading of God's Word. Paul is addressing those in Athens in this passage that we're about to read, in a place that we call Mars Hill. He said in verse 24, God that made the whole world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in the temples made with hands. I wanted to stop Ray and the praise team before they even got started on that song, because a lot of times we want God to fill this temple. We want God to fill this place with his glory. If your prayer is that he fills the sanctuary first, you're praying wrong. Because I pray the Lord fills this temple first. I pray the glory of God fills this temple first. So we see this right here. He dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and has made us of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell all on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation. They that seek the Lord, if haply they might find after him, and find him, though they be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain as of the own prophets have said, for we are his offspring. For as so much then we are his offspring of God, we ought not to think the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graveth by art and man's device. I want you to hear me. And I want you to open up your heart, and I want you to hear this right now. God is the God of life. He is not the God of death. He is not the God of doom. He is not the God of gloom. He is the God of life. And it's time that the children of God, the church of God, receives this word that says, I am a child full of life, and I serve a man whose name is Jesus, and he is the way, the truth, and the what? The life. What did he say one time? He said, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly. Woo, glory to God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to talk about you and how you give me life. Lord, I bless your name, and I ask this all in Jesus' name. And we say amen. You may be seated. For those of you who are wondering about the bottles, we've been raising these. We've been handing these out. It's called the Baby Bottle Boomerang. Every penny that you give, we give to the Pregnancy Test and Resource Center with a percent of our offering today, to help support them in their efforts. What is this? It's our local home missions that we're supporting here at Living Light. And what they do is they help young girls or young couples who find themselves with an unexpected pregnancy to choose life instead of abortion. Y'all listening to me? I don't know if you will agree with this, but I think life is precious. I think life is something that we should hold on to. And so every bottle, if you left your bottles at home, guess what? Bring them back next week, okay? It's as easy as that. I think we still got plenty of bottles out there. If you want to grab a few, bring them back next Sunday, do that. Because we want to help support this because of what they choose to give to people who feel like they have no hope. They choose to give life. Now, I'm not Pregnancy Testing Resource Center, but I'm the Bishop of Living Light Church of God, and I got something to tell you. My mission is the same as their mission, is to give people life. When everybody else says there's no hope for them. My God, I feel like preaching this morning. That's my calling right there. That's your calling. And whatever facet of you are that you are in this church, is we are here to give people life. We are here to show them the truth of Jesus. Because I hate to tell you, everybody's not happy right now. Everybody's not on the top of the mountain. Some people are in the valley, and there are people in here today who would say that I have no purpose in life. Anybody listening to me? There are some in here who feel like if they disappeared that no one would ever notice that they had left or that they had even existed. But I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. He said, if one sparrow falls in the field, don't you know that I see it? Don't you know that I have every hair numbered on your head? Brothers and sisters, we are not a mistake. That's my testimony right there. We are not a mistake. We were not something that just happened, but we were chosen by God. We were handpicked by God. We were put together by God. And guess what? God gave me this life that I have. So I'm not a mistake. And there's people in here today who feels like they have no hope, but I have hope to give you this morning, and his name is Jesus. Some of y'all would say, it's a story old as time. I've heard this story time and time again. Well, let me repeat it to you one more time. Jesus is the redeemer to the lost person. He's the hope for the hopeless. He's the peace of the chaos. He's the joy in the middle of a storm. He's the mender of the broken. He's the solid rock for the unstable. He's the bread of life for the hungry. He's the living water for the thirsty. He's the guide to the ones that are lost. He's the doctor to the ones that are sick. He is that sure foundation. He is the light for those who walk in darkness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Someone give him a shout of praise this morning. And what did the apostle tell us? That if we keep this gospel hidden, it is hidden to those that are lost. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell because I did not shine Jesus. Y'all listening to me? I don't want anybody to go to hell because I did not shine Jesus. I'm about to do it. I didn't want to. I shine Jesus with my mouth. I shine Jesus with my attitude. I shine Jesus with the way I tell jokes. I shine Jesus with the way I do my work. I shine Jesus with my conversation. I shine Jesus with every part of my being. I shine Jesus when I'm in Walmart. I shine Jesus when I'm in Dollar General. I shine Jesus when I'm at church. I shine Jesus when I'm at work. We cannot limit this Jesus to just a sanctuary, because what did his word just say? I don't dwell in a house made by man, but I dwell in the temple. I dwell in this place right here. That is what we're supposed to do. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something. I want to make sure that I show everybody this man named Jesus. Because we live in a life that is hard to enjoy sometimes. Is that okay to say it like that? We live a life that sometimes is hard to enjoy because we're dealing with pressures. We're dealing with burdens, hardships, and heartaches. But I have to tell somebody this right here. You can find life in this man named Jesus. And something I have learned along the way is that when I feel like I'm failing, he's the one that's carrying me. When I feel like I have fallen, he's the one that's still carrying me. When I feel like I'm stumbling, he's the one that's picking me up and put one foot in front of another. I had a friend by the name of LC. Loved LC. LC loved Jesus, but LC's body was crippled. But I remember the last few times I'd go pick him up, I would have to help him get in the car or the truck because his body had become so feeble. And you'd help carry his upper body. Wendy, y'all know how this goes in the ambulance. You pick him up with the upper body, but then his legs are dangling. So I would learn how to pick him up and get him in, but use my foot to pick up his foot. I don't know how, but it worked. There was one time we were tied up together, but I had him in the car, and I had this leg with his foot on top of mine, putting it over in there. And I thought to myself, there are times where I'm nothing but dead weight to God. There are times where I'm nothing but dead weight, and where others would just say, it's not worth it. My God, I wish y'all would tell me to preach. When other people would tell me that it's not worth it, God said, just hush. And let me do what you don't want to do, my Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. I got to preach it right here, Pastor Ryan. We want them to stink. We want them to smell like the world when they come down here to the altars. Is anybody going to preach with me right here? I want the broken. I want the lost one. I don't want other people's church members. I want those who feel like they have no hope to come to these altars right here. Because this is something that I have learned. That if I trust in him, my God, someone listen to what I'm preaching. If I trust in him, if my hope is in him, it may not meet my expectations, but his expectations are greater than I ever conceived. He said, what did he say? I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, don't you know that God made the world and the things therein? What does that tell me right there? That God has created everything. He has made me more than a conqueror. He has made me an ambassador. He has made me the head and not the tail. God has created everything. So the same God who can take nothing and pin humanity out of dirt is the same God who can provide me a way out of my storm. The same God that could take a dirt pile and breathe the breath of life and create humanity is the same God who knows me by name and tells me that I can overcome these things by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. But y'all better listen to me right here. You may have done it. Yes, you did. But get over it and move on. Can I just say it again? You may have done it. You may have messed up. Your face may have been plastered everywhere. But pick up and move on. Why? Because yesterday is yesterday. I'm going on into my tomorrow. Because God has greater things for me over there. Why? Because back there I didn't know him. Because back there I hadn't received him. But over yonder I'm going on. Why? Because I found Jesus. I found him to be the God of everything. I found him to be the creator of everything. And if I made a mess of it tomorrow, guess what he can do with yesterday? He can take my yesterday and make it into something better tomorrow. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I'm sorry that I don't meet the qualifications of this world. I'm sorry that I don't meet the demeanor of what the world expects. But I'm sorry because the world was not with me when I was in hell. The world was not with me when I was in chaos. The world was not there. It just caused it. But Jesus was the one who showed up. Jesus was the one who walked through. Jesus was the one who climbed off of a cross. Now, this is where I could preach it right here, Nick, that he could have stayed up there. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have kept his presence there, because you know what, Amy? His blood was enough. His blood was enough for the remission of our sin. But what did he, my God, this ain't in my notes, Pastor Ryan, but what did he do? He looked at the congregation and he said, it's expedient that I go away. But if I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. What did he tell him? I will pray to the Father that he will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So his blood was enough. Let me say it again. His blood is enough. And if that's all it was, it would be enough. But my God, what does he do, Brother Brian? He not only does that, but he sends us the presence of the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody would listen to what I'm about to preach to you. He not only does that with his blood, but he also sends us the Holy Ghost. He also sends the Comforter of heaven, that yeah, when I have tens of thousands set against me, I don't have to worry, because I may be surrounded on the north side, the south side, the east side, and the west side. But when I know the Holy Ghost is present with me, I don't even have to lift up one fist, because the Lord knows how to fight my battles. If his blood was all that he ever did, that would be enough. But then he gave me the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you this right here. God has created us in his likeness, in his image. We have the life of God flowing through our veins. Every breath that I take, I breathe the name of God. Y'all ever heard that? Y'all ever heard that saying? There's a lot of Bible scholars in here. And I could get every one of them up and say, tell me the unknown name of God. They would just give us the spelling, because there's no vowels in it. Y'all ever read about that before? There's no vowels in it. So therefore, it can't be pronounced, because it has no structure. But somebody caught hold of it a few years ago, I don't know. But they said the thing about it is, if you utter the unknown name of God, it's a noise. You ever heard this before? You ever heard this before, Candy? It's the name of God that cannot be pronounced, because it's a noise. What's the noise? Every time I take a breath in, I speak half of his name. And every time I let that breath out, I speak the rest of his name. But when the heart stops beating and the lungs stop breathing, then there's no more name of God coming out of this body. But for those of us who know him, when the breath stops here, my breath starts over there. and I realize this life that he has given me, my God, this life that he has given me was not in vain. It was not a waste. No one told me this. Nobody told me this. No mama, no daddy of mine looked at me and said, "You were a mistake." Y'all listening? I want y'all to hear that. My mama or my daddy didn't look at me and say I was a mistake. My meemaw never looked at me and said I was a mistake. But you know what I felt like, Sister Janice? That I was a mistake. That I wasn't supposed to happen. I messed everybody's plans up when I came into this world. For years, I walked around and looked at that boy in the mirror and thought that he was a mistake because he wasn't really intended to be here. But you know what? I'm glad that God wasn't writing my story that way. Because I was supposed to be here. And I was supposed to be kept by my Pentecostal meemaw who taught me about Jesus. I was supposed to be here so I could get up and tell people about the beauty of forgiveness. I was put here because you know why? They gave me life, but God gave me my life. And it's in him. And it's in him that I move. It's in him that I breathe. It's in him that I live. Why? Because Jesus gave me this life. My Lord, none of you are insignificant. I want you to hear me. None of you are a mistake. None of you are just a little dot in history. But you are chosen by God. You are called by God. You are anointed by God. God gave you all a purpose. And I'll be if I allow anyone under the sound of my voice to live a lie of the devil that says that you're nothing more than a mistake. Because you know what I choose to believe? What he told me. And I am his. My God, I love the Lord. I don't regret this journey. Do y'all? I don't regret knowing him. I don't regret getting to experience him. I don't regret getting to know him in the way that I do. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his likeness." Come on, I need a piano player, just a piano player. Psalms chapter 139 verses 13 and 14. "For you formed my inward parts and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Brother Larry, we ain't no mistake. Y'all are no mistake. But in heaven right now, if I were able to visit heaven and I was able to lay my eyes upon God himself and he was able to outstretch his arms in an embrace, you know what I would look for? I would look for my name to be written in his hand. Because the Bible says that it's engraven in his hand. Now stop, look, and listen to me. The God who created the universe with his hands is the same God that has my name written right there. I am somebody because of Christ Jesus. You are somebody because of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to stand, and when we stand, if we'll close our eyes. bow our heads. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we've come this far. Lord, we have come this far. We have seen your spirit move over us this morning. We have seen your anointing fall on the praise team. Lord, your anointing has been on our Sunday school teachers as they taught our students this morning. Lord, you've been on the prayer warriors in the altar. Lord, you've been on me while I've declared the word of God. Lord, I want all of us to hear this truth this morning, that we can have life and have life more abundantly if we choose Jesus today. Lord, and there is one thing that I know is everyone does not know him. Every person under the sound of my voice needs to hear that we all need Jesus. Lord, no one in this sanctuary is exempt from needing salvation, needing redemption. So Lord, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know you this morning, God, let today be the day of salvation. Lord Jesus, let today be the day that they lift up that hand and say, Pastor Tyler, I need Jesus. Lord, as we prepare to pray over those, Lord, as they continue to hear me pray, God, Lord, work in their heart right now. Lord, we all have found ourselves lost without Jesus before. Lord, none of us have ever been spotless our entire lives. But at some point, Jesus came into our story when we all have repented and we have all called on that name Jesus. So Lord, as we prepare to pray, let that person know that it's okay to say, I need Jesus. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're a wretched person. It means that you're somebody who says, I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my unrighteousness and help me with my shortcomings along life's way. Because the journey keeps getting sweeter the more I know of Jesus.